And we're off and running. It is a Manic Monday edition. Hoy, 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 do we got a lot going on of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese with you. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Woohoo! Faith and Begora.
Green beer flowing here in the studio early and often, the way it's supposed to be.
In that cup?
Like, don't know what you're talking about.
I don't
it
see
is
any green beer unless it's in that cup right
off
there.
Off and running here for a brand new week of programming on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Ooh.
And got my brackets set. Feel confident I'm going to win
already?
Every single game.
Wow.
This year. Pretty easy, actually. I think I got all of the winners.
Wow.
I'll share with you after each game whether or not I got it right, and we'll just see. But I'm feeling very good going in. Looks like, to me, I just have winners all the way around.
You picked all the favorites.
No, did not pick all the favorites.
No, you did not? Okay.
Did not pick all of the favorites.
All right.
Never has there been a tournament where the favorites just win every single game.
All right, two things. First, I haven't filled out a bracket in years. I'm not interested. All right, I watch the games. It's fun. I just, going down in flames every year just gets old. So it's like I just stopped.
Well, yeah, that's why you got to pick the right team.
I mean, I was watching, CBS always has coverage.
Wouldn't be any fun if you were picking the wrong team.
Well, thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Of the picking. If you watched that last night, and a lot of people do, I'm trying to think who was the talking head? Seth, what's his last name? Seth
Greenberg?
No.
Shoot,
what's his name? He was picking a bunch of upsets last night. And he's like, no, I think this team's going to beat this team. I'm trying to think. He thinks Purdue is going to get bounced later this week.
Could see that.
Really?
Okay,
yeah, that's interesting.
Struggled.
At one point, there was a graphic, and I wish I would have taken a picture. They put a graphic up on the screen. And, of course, here in the early rounds, it's 5 against 12, 8 against 9, 4 against, 13. And so the question is 1 against 16 over the last, 10 years, what have the records been? And it's interesting. Now, 8 versus 9. Okay. Now, technically, 8 is supposed to be the, quote, better team. But yet, according to this graphic, 8 versus 9, 9, if I remember, I should have taken a picture, 9 wins that game 2/3 of the time over number 8. How about that? Number 9 beats number 8 a serious majority of times.
It's madness, I tell you.
Well, that is pretty mad, all right? 5-12, everybody points to the 5-12 games. Like, okay, watch out for number 12. Well, as I recall, 5 wins more often than not, but there was a significant number of 12 wins. All right, so if you're into this stuff, North Carolina in a play-in game, again, I'm looking at that like, wait a minute, is that right? North Carolina's in a play-in game, either tomorrow or Wednesday, I forget which. North Carolina, of course, one of the blue bloods of college basketball, and they're in a play-in game, and there are still people arguing they shouldn't be there in the first place. And I think the team that's in front of the argument is Indiana. Indiana got passed over. Uh-oh, not happy in Bloomington. So that's interesting. So I assume we'll have some more college basketball talk.
Oh, I suppose.
We'll have a little bit. And, yes, Penn State is not playing, and that apparently is by choice, and maybe we'll talk about that later because I'm just shaking my head. Like, why? Anyway, we'll save that for a little bit later on. We have open line time. You kidding me? Lots of things to talk about. Here's our number, 814-954-7266. If you want to get an early start on things, 814-954-7266. Yesterday was an interesting day, wasn't it? Some of you are still saying that because you have no power at your house. Woo! I mean, now...
Kind of miss the boring weather, don't you?
Well, yeah, that was last...
I'm just saying.
That was last week.
I'm just telling you.
We got Joe coming later, I assume.
We do.
All right, our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, will join us later next hour to tell us what the heck just happened. Now, it could be worse. I mean, I've got this story here. At least 40 people dead over the weekend across the country because of this storm system that just came plowing from west to east right across, really bad in places down south. Let's see, in Kansas, Texas, and Oklahoma, they had dust storms. Well, big wind, and I guess dry. Dust storms, more than a dozen people killed in dust storms and wildfires in those states. 12 people killed in Missouri. 3 people died in Alabama. I mean, just, this is bad, like tornadoes, really bad stuff. We had a tornado watch at one point here yesterday. I'll be curious to see, like, news coverage today. Did somebody see something? You know, that sort of thing. Because as I'm checking, let me get an update here. As I'm checking, I went to the West Penn Power outages website. So as people report outages, this gets put up on a map. And this is a map of, let me zoom out, this is a map of all of Pennsylvania. And it's interesting, there was some damage, you know, more to the southeast, like York, Lancaster, Reading, Lehigh Valley. But most of it is either in our neighborhood, to our west, and to our north. It's really bad. In fact, I'm looking at this map right now, and according to this, in the Greater State College area, I assume this is up to date, in the Greater State College area, there are still over 50 reported outages that have not yet been fixed. Maybe that's you. All right, I hope not. But it's got to be somebody, because there's over 50 still reported. Up in the Greater Bellefonte area, 28 are still reported. Now, I'm from Penns Valley.
Bellefonte School District, by the way, closed today.
Yeah, it's a real mess.
State College is on a 2-hour delay, but Ferguson Township Elementary, looking like it's closed. I guess they're making a final determination here at 8:30, depending on whether they can get power restored, but it sounded not promising, but the rest of the district will be, is on a 2-hour delay this morning.
I mean, I feel fortunate. I'm out in Penns Valley. I lost power yesterday for about 5 seconds. That's all it was. It was about 5 seconds. I'm sitting there. I can't remember what I was doing. I'm like, oh, shoot. And then 5 seconds later, boop, up it came back, and it stayed on. So I feel fortunate.
Yeah, south end of State College, like South Atherton area down by Branch Road, and apparently kind of Lamont-Hazardville area got pretty well walloped. It was interesting. I went over to Meyer Dairy. I was going to just get some milk. They're like, nope, we're closed. Everything's out. It's like, okay. Go over to the Giant across the street, and they had a very kind worker there just as you're entering. Just so you know, no dairy, no meat available, nothing frozen. We're like, okay.
Oh, boy.
And one of the light at... trying to think. I think it was the light at the intersection with Branch Road there was not operating. It was out altogether. And it's interesting. I don't know enough about how those lights work. The other, like the light right before it and the light right after it were working, but that one was completely out. And folks seem to be pretty, all right, you know, allow you in here, keep going there type of thing. But yeah, it caused some problems and is still causing some problems in the area here today for sure.
Yeah, I'm checking this out right now.
Well, Fox Hollow, I don't know if they got it open yet. Yeah, they had utility lines down.
out like between Burnell Road and Fillmore. Utility lines were down, and that, as you might imagine, is causing some significant issues. What with, you know, an airport being out there and everything. Route 879 was shut down from the Pine Glen Fire Company to the Clearfield County line. This now from the Center Daily Times. That was due to significant storm damage. And again, various, you see trees down here or there, and, you know, folks can get around some things. But, yeah, it was not a very long storm, but boy, it packed a wallop.
Yeah, it was nasty. So, a lot of folks still have no power. And, I mean, goodness, how many power crews are there? Because, again, it's not just here. West, north, a lot of places got nailed yesterday. So, God forbid, I can see situations where people aren't getting their power back till tomorrow. I hope that's not true, but I'm just looking at the basic numbers on this website. I'm thinking, okay, 50-plus in one place, that's a lot. So stick with it, folks. Did we lose power here yesterday by chance? Do you even know?
I don't think so.
Then we got lucky. All right.
Yeah. I live not far from the station, and we had some flickering lights, but I don't think we ever lost power at our house nor here at the station.
All right. Remember on Friday, we started talking about energy on Friday, and we started getting phone calls talking about energy,
mm-hmm.
about solar and wind and nuclear and all this other stuff.
Yep.
And at one point I mentioned that I don't know if this will ever happen, but I wouldn't call it a dream, but I would take a look at it. If I could take my house off the grid and I have, I don't know, really good solar panels or something, you know, to that effect, and a really good battery system that can hold the power for, you know, days, that I wouldn't necessarily, and they don't want to hear this, need the electric company anymore. I could just operate on my own. Now, if we had a situation like that where all of our homes operated on their own, everybody would be fine right now. Just a crazy thought. Anyway. All right, yes, it is St. Patrick's Day. Woohoo! Yeah, okay, you and the Penn State students are back. Woohoo! Yay!
Welcome back.
I guess. Should I assume
you're not welcoming him back?
That there will be some partying going on today? Should I assume this? A lot of Penn State students will pull their green shirts back out.
Got a strong Irish population on the University Park campus. Yes. No doubt about it.
Especially if there's a bar nearby.
Huh? Right?
Very, very strong. You know, in Chicago, whatever this crazy tradition, the Chicago River runs through Chicago. They put some kind of powder in the river, and yes, it turns green. Not ugly algae green, but more of an emerald green. People think that's the greatest thing.
That's pretty cool.
It's weird.
That's pretty cool.
Now, apparently, I mean, the powder does not hurt anything. It gradually, you know, dissipates and goes away and so on. But in Chicago, they've got a green river today. Then we have the situation that happened in Pittsburgh on Friday. Now, for any Penn State students listening, do not do this, okay? Do not do this, all right? Apparently, this was a bunch of Pitt students. Apparently, several hundred Pitt students on Friday got together at a certain location for a big party, all right? I assume this was like after class or something like this on Friday. And, of course, somebody was there with a smartphone, and they're videoing and all this sort of thing. And they're videoing at just the right moment. There are hundreds of students there, including, and I couldn't count them, a lot of students standing on a roof that was an overhang to a porch. So it was not like the roof of the house. It was a roof that was an overhang to a porch. A whole lot of students, you can kind of see, you can find this online, the person is panning left to right, and all of a sudden you see this roof, and there's a ton of people standing on this roof until the roof collapsed. And, I mean, there were people underneath the roof. 20 people had to be taken to hospitals. The good news is nothing apparently very serious. Maybe one person had a broken arm or a broken leg. The public information officer for Pitt, Emily Bourne, urged people to, quote, party responsibly. As in, don't get on a roof. What are you doing partying on top of a roof? Hello? Don't do that. Penn State students today, do not do that. No partying on roofs, especially over a porch. I'm just, okay, were they drunk before they got on the roof?
That seems very unlikely.
Were they drunk after they got on the roof?
I can't imagine.
What are you doing on a roof? Allegedly, you're intelligent college students. Of course, they did go to Pitt.
You have it.
Uh-oh, now I'm going to get hate mail.
Uh-huh.
Oh, not good. Okay. Yes, quote, party responsibly. I saw that quote more than once over the weekend. Please party responsibly. Folks that want to party are not interested in being responsible, are they? Hello? Message to Pitt and Penn State. All right, so watch out for that. All right, what else do we have here? Now, I still have got to get more details on this story, but it happened again, apparently, at the end of last week. What am I talking about? Down in North Carolina, where that terrible flooding took place back in September. So that is 6 months ago, roughly. Some people down there are still waiting. What about my house that got destroyed? You going to help me out, government? They're still waiting. Well, once again, Amish carpenters from Pennsylvania apparently got in some vans and trucks, drove down to North Carolina. We've mentioned this before. The last time they did this a number of weeks ago, it was like 30 guys, the Amish guys. They go down to North Carolina with their tools. They had stuff to work with down there, and they built a whole series of so-called tiny homes, which are very small houses. They built a whole bunch of these in one day. They built them. They wired them up for electric. They got them all ready to go for people to move in, apparently. And they did all of this in a day. Well, apparently over the weekend they did it again, or at late last week they did it again. In this case, it was the home of Kim Gill. Now, folks, this is a real town. Bat Cave, North Carolina. That's a real town. Now, you might think, well, does Batman live there? Does Batman and Robin kind of hang out there?
We're Bat not Cave. Supposed to give away the address.
What's
the matter with you?
That's kind of obvious, right?
Oh.
Bat Cave, North Carolina is a real town. Now, somebody may look here and like, Snowshoe? What kind of town is Snowshoe? Which, by the way, is a beautiful town. I'm talking about the name, okay? So this lady in Bat Cave, North Carolina, the Amish show up. They rebuilt her house in a day. Now, this was not a tiny house. It was not a mansion, but it was a regular-sized house. The 30 Amish carpenters arrived and rebuilt her home in one day.
How many Amish carpenters does it take to build a house in one day?
30. Put in a light bulb. No, that's right. They don't deal with light bulbs.
Well,
all right. But I saw this online, and in all caps, God bless the Amish. Okay, there we go. Now, the problem here is it says over 30 Amish carpenters from Pennsylvania. I'd like to know where. Was it locals? Were they from Lancaster? Now, keep in mind, there are Amish farms almost across the state. They're definitely in the northern tier. They're over toward Clearfield, Punxsutawney. I mean, there are significant groupings of Amish, like, in a lot of places. If you go east of here toward Lewisburg, there's some over in that direction, too. Lancaster County gets all the publicity because they do. All right, they're a tourist attraction down there, which I've always think was unfortunate. Amish don't want to be a tourist attraction. They just want to live their lives. That's it. Thankfully, up this way, they're not a tourist attraction. We don't have Dutch Wonderland. If you've never heard of Dutch Wonderland, that's a theme park outside Lancaster, and it's called Dutch Wonderland. Do the Amish go to Dutch Wonderland? No. In a word, no. Okay? This is for the English, for everybody else. Dutch Wonderland almost closed a number of years ago, and somebody bought it and rescued it, and now it's doing great stuff. No, you don't go to Dutch Wonderland and meet Amish. No, that's not the way it works. But are they from Lancaster? Are they from here? I'd like to know where these guys are from. Because this is the second time now they've done this. Gone to North Carolina. Somebody's gotten them there. Trucks, vans, whatever. They get out. They work like incredible from like dawn to dusk. And in this case, they rebuilt this lady's entire home in one day. That is amazing. That's incredible. I'm stunned by that. No, I'm not stunned by that. First off, they're fantastic carpenters. Second off, they work really great as a team. They are highly organized. So I'm not surprised at all that these guys did this. And as far as I know, they have gotten nothing in return. In other words, Kim Gill, the house owner, did not pay these guys. She probably would have gratefully paid them something. But as far as we know, they went down, built the house, came on back. That's something to emulate, especially maybe today with whatever damage we end up having, and we'll find out in news later in our neighborhood. If that much power's out and things are closed, something's got to be damaged out there, like homes and businesses and so on. Watch your news coverage today, and we'll probably find out together, hopefully little to none, but after that big blow yesterday, I'm thinking it's almost inevitable. All right, let's take our break.
All right.
I think the sports segment is going to go for half an hour again.
Could very well.
This is going to be...
We got quite a bit to come.
A lot of stuff from the weekend. Some good, some not so good, depending on, you know, if you're a Penn State fan and so on. Then we'll have some open line time later. The Starbucks settlement, which it's like... No, there's something wrong here. There's just something wrong. But we'll get to that in a little bit. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll be right back. The Fox. This is The Fox. Get the feeling.
Whoa. This is The Fox. Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Lycoming Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Lycoming Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Lycoming Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
The Center Hall Farm Store is proud to serve our community as a small family business that provides big-time service. Folks, you can still stock up on those wood pellets this winter. The Center Hall Farm Store makes its own horse, cow, pig, chicken, and bird feeds and has a great variety of pet feeds for your needs. Open weekdays from 8 to 4 and Saturday from 8 to noon. Check us out at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or on the web at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com. Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutcheon has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game all season long brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
Happy St. Patrick's Day here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you, and this is the time of the show where we take a check of the sports scene, and as is often the case, usually the case, we've got lots to cover here on a Monday morning. For some reason, the weekends seem to be busy on the sports front.
How about that?
Go figure. All right, let's start with the Penn State men's gymnastics team, or should I say the Big Ten champion Penn State men's gymnastics team. Last night, the Nittany Lions holding off Nebraska for a 329.05 to 328.85 victory, thus clinching a share of the 2025 Big Ten regular season title. It is the first time Penn State has won the regular season Big Ten title. They only crowned a regular season champion starting in 2019. But with that win, Penn State now 6-1. On the season, 3-1 in Big Ten meets. Penn State winning four event titles in last night's meet, and Penn State had 13 sticks. Clutch performance down the stretch by Matt Cormier, who had a season high 13.8 on the floor, but also had an impromptu finish that allowed the Nittany Lions to pull out the victory over the Cornhuskers after trailing going into the final event last night. So congratulations to the Penn State men's gymnastics team. Again, the Nittany Lions with a share of the Big Ten title here in 2025. In men's hockey, fifth-seeded Penn State dropping an overtime heartbreaker to third-seeded Ohio State in Columbus Saturday, 4-3. That was in the Big Ten semifinals. Arseny Sergeyev did have 38 saves and goal for Penn State. Ben Schoen, J.J. Wiebusch, and Matt DiMarcico each scored for Penn State. Nittany Lions are now 20-13-4 on the season, and we'll have to wait and see if they receive an at-large bid into the NCAA tournament. Pretty good bet that Penn State will, but gotta wait and see. If Penn State does get into the NCAA tournament, the added bonus is the regionals are in Allentown. March 28th through the 30th at the PPL Center. So, fingers crossed for the Penn State men's hockey team. A terrific second half of the season here by Penn State. Penn State women's lacrosse losing to Northwestern yesterday in Evanston 16-7. Erica Ho had four goals for Penn State, which has now lost six straight. Nittany Lions are 2-7 overall, 0-2 in Big Ten play. Penn State softball team salvaging the final game of its weekend at Oklahoma Oklahoma City against Big Ten competition after losing two games to Northwestern by scores of 13-7 and 10-2 and dropping the first game against Minnesota 8-7. The Nittany Lions prevailed yesterday over the Golden Gophers 5-1. Haley Brunson and Brooke Klosowitz each homered for Penn State to help the team improve to 13-14 on the season, now 1-3 in Big Ten games. Klosowitz has now reached base safely in 26 consecutive games. Matty Volpe, Giselle Hernandez, and Abigail Britton combined to hold Minnesota to one run on four hits in the weekend finale. Penn State will visit Indiana this coming weekend. Oliver Dumel finished eighth in the men's 800 meters at the NCAA Indoor Track and Field Championships to earn first-team All-America honors for Penn State. USC won the men's championship while Oregon won the women's title. The St. Joseph's girls basketball team losing to Bishop Guilfoyle in the PIAA single-A quarterfinals on Saturday, 66-48 was your final. Naomi Crispin had 25 points for the Wolfpack, but the defending state champion Marauders jumped out to a 24-2 start, and that proved too much to overcome. Aubrey Yartz also in double figures for St. Joe's with 13. The Wolfpack finishing the season with a record of 26-3, and the good news is all five starters return next season for St. Joseph's. Bishop Guilfoyle will advance to face Bishop Carroll in the state semifinals this weekend. Penn State baseball team splitting its doubleheader at Northwestern on Saturday afternoon, and the Nittany Lions took the first game 10-7, then fell 13-5 in Game 2. Penn State had already taken the first game of the series on Friday, so Penn State has won its first two series in Big Ten play this season. Penn State now 14-4 overall, 4-2 in conference play. Paxton Kling in the opening game had a double and a solo home run among his three hits. Jesse Jakonski drove in three with a home run and a two-run single. Jack Porter added two hits, including a two-run homer. In Game 2, the Nittany Lions rallied for five runs in the sixth, and that was highlighted by a two-run homer by Bryce Molinaro and a solo blast by Porter. Porter, by the way, homered in each of the three games in the series and had seven hits overall on the weekend. Penn State, with the win in the first game of that doubleheader, was 14-3. Again, now 14-4. That 14-3 record, the best start for Penn State baseball since 1979.
Wow.
Penn State will have a couple of non-conference matchups this week at Medler Field at Lebrano Park. Of course, the big news is tomorrow, St. Bonaventure visits. It'll be a 5:30 start, and it'll be another dollar dog night at the ballpark. Penn State will then take on Lafayette on Wednesday at 5:30. No dollar dog night on Wednesday. Penn State will host Michigan State in a Big Ten series starting on Friday. The Penn State men's volleyball team pushing 12th-ranked Ball State to five sets, but finishing up the Outrigger Invitational with a 3-2 loss, losing that final set 15-10 to the Cardinals. Penn State is 5-13 on the season after a, shall we say, challenging non-conference schedule that included 10 losses to nationally ranked opponents. The Nittany Lions were led by Matthew Loma, who had, on his birthday, a career-high 19 kills on 350 hitting. Penn State men's basketball declining consideration for any postseason tournament ahead of Selection Sunday yesterday. That according to Lions 247, first to report it. The team stopped practicing following the regular season finale in Madison, where they upset then 12th-ranked Wisconsin, 86-75. If it had elected to continue the season, Penn State was expected to receive a bid to either the new college basketball crown tournament or the NIT. Several other power conference teams also making similar decisions to withdraw from postseason consideration, including a couple of others from the Big Ten in Rutgers and Iowa, which is, by the way, looking for a new head coach now. Shifting landscape of collegiate athletics, according to Onward State, likely a motivator. Yep, probably a pretty good guess. Mike Rhodes is looking to reshape the roster for next season. And, of course, the transfer portal opens on March 24th, and the secondary tournaments will run through early April. And, yep, welcome to the changing landscape of college athletics. Penn State women's basketball forward Grace Hull, speaking of the changing landscape of college athletics, has entered the transfer portal. Hall announcing over the weekend that she is open to looking at other schools. Hall began her career at LSU in the 21-22 season. She then went to Wabash Valley College for JUCO ball in 2022-2023. She redshirted that season. Then she transferred to Penn State, spent 2 years here with the Lady Lions, played in 31 games, averaging 2.2 points and 1.8 rebounds in her first season. And then this past season, she started in 15 games, played in 29, and finished the year averaging 5.7 points, 3 rebounds, and 1.4 assists per game. She is the first Penn State player to announce that she will be hitting, or is hitting, the transfer portal. 64th-ranked Penn State men's tennis team losing at 54th-ranked Oregon yesterday. Some good matches, but Oregon did sweep it 4-0. Penn State men's golf back in action today and tomorrow at the Sea Island Resort in St. Simons Island in Georgia. They'll be competing in the Johnny O at Sea Island 54-hole event. We'll get underway here. Actually, did get underway here this morning. And after being released Tuesday by the Carolina Panthers, now listen, Penn State does what it can to mold young men.
Really?
You try to get them steering in the right direction. You try to help them to whatever degree you can.
Okay.
And a guy like Miles Sanders left here, you felt like, man, a really good man. Good player, but a good man.
Where's this going?
Well, he has lost his way. The former Philadelphia Eagle.
It's okay.
Folks, if you're driving a car, just maybe pull over here for a moment.
Oh, wow.
Hmm. Miles Sanders has willingly signed a one-year deal with the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know what happened. Somewhere along the way, Miles just has lost his way.
He's lost his way. Yeah.
Hopefully, somehow, some way, he'll find his way back to the good light.
He found his old teammate, Micah Parsons.
Yeah, but Micah didn't have a choice. Sanders had been with the Carolina Panthers last season after spending his first 4 years in the NFL with the Eagles. Last year he had 205 rushing yards in 11 games with the Panthers. Now he's a Cowboy. What are you doing?
Sorry.
I mean, what are you doing? The Pittsburgh Penguins, they're red hot, baby. They erupted for 7 goals and got their 4th straight win, beating the New Jersey Devils. It is always good to beat the Devils. 7-3, the beloved Penguins win it. Little too late, but kind of fun nonetheless. Philadelphia Flyers on Saturday were shut out by the Hurricanes. Flyers are heading in the wrong direction again. Flyers will be back in action against the Lightning. 7 o'clock start tonight in Tampa. And the Pittsburgh Pirates yesterday beating the New York Yankees. World Series preview?
Oh, yeah.
Well, perhaps like in 2058 or something. You never know. Pirates did win it 4-3 yesterday. The Buccos will take on the Tigers this afternoon. Did you hear the news? Fox Sports. Right here.
98.7.
Yes, yeah. We will be covering the Pittsburgh Pirates. We'll carry all of their games. Well, the overwhelming majority of their games throughout the upcoming season. And it all gets underway on March 27th, a week from Thursday. The beloved Bucks open the campaign at the Marlins. You can listen for all of the action right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Also yesterday, the Phillies drubbed the Orioles 12-1.
The Orioles had a split squad. They won their
other
game.
Oh, the Orioles look awful.
They won
it's,
their other game.
It's going to be a disastrous season for Baltimore. No other
conclusion. I'd have to see the lineup
that can be
played
drawn
in that game.
The Phillies will be at home against the Blue Jays. You know, Grapefruit League action today. By the way, big Grapefruit League action tomorrow as the Phillies and the Buccos meet in Bradenton to settle it all. And Aaron Rodgers still
hanging
not
out there,
making a decision. There's report from The Athletic.
He wants to go to Minnesota.
Well, that's what there's a report from The Athletic that says Rodgers may be now holding out for Minnesota or bust. Meaning that he may retire if the Vikings do not make him an offer. Vikings are, according to The Athletic, kicking the tires on the possibility of bringing in Aaron Rodgers to help J.J. McCarthy, who they believe, at least at the moment, may be their quarterback of the future. Of course, Rodgers has offers from the Giants and the Steelers in hand. And if he does not go to the Steelers, you may be wondering who the Steelers quarterback will be in the upcoming season. And yeah, me too. That is a check of...
Would it be Mason Rudolph?
No. That is not going to be your starting quarterback for the upcoming season.
Throwing it out there.
No.
Russell Wilson's looking around.
They likely would go... Well, no, they have Rudolph, but they have him as a backup. They would likely be looking at Jameis Winston. It's disaster written all over it. And it may be disaster if Rodgers signs with the Steelers, but just hoping they get Jackson Dart and that Jackson Dart just bursts onto the scene a la...
Ooh, you're betting a lot there.
Jaden Daniels.
You're betting a lot there, Ben.
And the Steelers go to the Super Bowl and get it all turned around on the back of a rookie sensation.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ben Roethlisberger, that almost happened with Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ben Roethlisberger was, unique. Is Jackson Dart unique?
Well, he's unique.
You like him.
I do.
I don't know if he's that unique. Of course, Ben Roethlisberger is like, the kid's not bad. He starts playing like, this guy's pretty good. You know, Tom Brady, he's not bad till he started playing like, this guy's really good. So maybe, I don't know enough about Jackson Dart.
What those two teams had that this team does not was a good veteran offensive line.
That is missing
pretty significantly
in
Pittsburgh.
All right, let's take our break here. I'm just kidding. Now, we have open line time. We got some more sportsy stuff to talk here. And, of course, of newsy stuff, too. If you're a Packers fan, and there's a lot of you out there.
What's the matter with you?
All right. If Rodgers goes to the Vikings, this would be Brett Favre 2.0.
Yes.
And I'm thinking Packers fans would be seriously ticked. If you're a Packers fan, you want to call in later, tell us that. We'd be curious to hear. But anyway, let's take our break. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll be right back.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time, even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball with the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area. You can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming seasons. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Let's talk here on the St. Patrick's Monday. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is open and available for your use. 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266. Looking forward to the corned beef and cabbage later today.
Hey, that would be tasty.
Oh, love it.
All right. Now remember, party responsibly.
Can't beat mom's cooking.
College information directors desperately trying to get that message out today after what happened at Pitt on Friday. All right. A lot of people up on a roof overhanging a porch until it came right down on top of a lot of other people. Again, thankfully, no one was seriously injured in that. But come on, if you're a Penn State person, first, welcome back. All right, Penn State, hope you had a great time on spring break last week. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now it's back to work, you know, back to school, back to class. Don't do something stupid today, like standing up on a roof with, like, 50 of your friends. All right, no, don't do that. I was like, what were those thinking? Ugh. Anyway, 814-954-7266 is the number to dial. Open line time. Now, you missed a story.
Oh?
You missed the story, all right? Something big happened. I guess this was over the weekend. I believe you remember a fellow named Roman Bravo Young.
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Who is this guy? Is he a golfer?
Try again.
Huh?
Yeah, Mr. Wrestling, okay. Roman Bravo Young, of course, outstanding. Two-time national champion Penn State wrestler.
Yep.
And his girlfriend, Ellie Wheeler. Now, Ellie was an outstanding soccer player at Penn State. She's now gone. She's professional, plays for Kansas City, the National Women's Soccer League team there. And apparently over the weekend, and of course somebody's there with a smartphone. There's always somebody there with a smartphone
always.
Now. After a game, Roman comes out on the field, or the pitch, as they call it in soccer.
Yeah.
And Ellie is there, And I get, you know, if you watch this video, if you search online, you can find the video.
Yeah.
Ellie's teammates are kind of in the background, and you get the idea they know what's coming.
Yes.
So Roman comes up to Ellie, and of course, he pops the question. He gets down on one knee. People are getting excited. He pulls out the rock. It looked pretty big. And Ellie immediately says, yes. And they hug and kiss and all that stuff. And so they are now getting married. So that is very cool.
That
very
is
nice.
Very cool.
So Roman gives her the ring, puts the ring on her finger, kind of backs away. Ellie goes to her teammates. They're all jumping up and down. They're going crazy. You know, Ellie's showing off her big ring and so on. So that's pretty cool. All right, congratulations to Roman and Ellie. No idea about, you know, when and all that sort of stuff. We'll figure that out later.
Yeah.
But that's pretty cool. That was a smile on your face.
Yes, it was a very cool.
Over the weekend.
Yeah, very cool. Moment.
Penn State men's hockey, come on, they've done enough to get in. I mean, yeah, they lost, but they went to overtime at Ohio State.
Yes.
All of this has got to count for something. Two wins at Michigan State, two wins at Michigan, and now this one overtime to Ohio State. That has to be enough to get in.
It'll be more shocking if Penn State hockey doesn't get in than Indiana basketball not getting into the NCAA men's basketball tournament.
No.
I think Penn State they feel as close to a lock as you could be given all of the circumstances, and certainly as close to a lock as a team that started 0-8 in conference play could possibly be at this stage of the season. So, no, I'm with you. It really will. It'll be stunning if they're not in the field.
Got to be enough.
And I think they're going to do some damage in the NCAA tournament. I think they are a team that things have come together here. Michigan State is likely going to be the number two overall seed, especially if it wins, even if it doesn't win the Big Ten championship here. They'll play Ohio State this coming weekend, but very likely to be the number two overall seed. And as you said, this is a Penn State team that went into their building late in the season at the end of the year and walked out of there with two games,
took two,
including the only one. Michigan State lost all season on a Saturday at home.
Boston College was number one. They lost over the weekend in their tournament. So, Penn State, even with this overtime loss, Penn State's the hottest team in the game right now. And they have to be in. They just have to be in. And yes, you mentioned Allentown. Oh, man, I'd like to go see that.
Yes, indeed.
Now, that would be next weekend. Not this weekend.
Not
next
this coming.
Weekend.
Yep.
So stay tuned for some details on that. That's just like great. Allentown, 2 hours away. All right, let's go do it. Baseball. Does not start next week. Major League Baseball actually starts tomorrow. Did you know that? Okay. Chicago Cubs and the LA Dodgers are over in Japan, where, by the way, they both lost to the Henshin Tigers the other day. That's from the Japanese Professional League. I tell you what, there's more and more really good Japanese players that are starting to show themselves, if you will. It's not just Shohei Ohtani, all right? Not just him. There's a lot of good players. But apparently the Cubs and Dodgers will play a game tomorrow, and then they will play another game on Wednesday at the Tokyo Dome. Love that name, the Tokyo Dome. Now, if you want to watch these games, they'll be on TV, but it's in Japan. Time difference. It's, I think, according to this, the game's going to be like 6 a.m., if you want to get up early, if you're a Cubs or a Dodgers fan. But apparently, tickets for these two games in Japan going for $2,000 for a ticket. Whoa! Japanese really like baseball. They love, love, love baseball. So that's cool. Were you surprised Penn State basketball bowed out? They were definitely going to go to one of these other two tournaments. That was a lock. They were in. because they were Penn State. They're in the Big Ten because they really handled Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament, and they really handled them in the second half of that game. They were in, and they decided, nope, we're done. You surprised by that?
Not really, no. Not.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, given, they need to get to work on figuring out next year's team. And I think weighing the benefits of talking to folks and trying to get some help in here versus whatever gain you can get from a few more games in a postseason tournament makes sense. That's why you're seeing a number of teams make the same decision.
Yeah, Iowa, Northwestern, I think, could have gone. They decided, nope, we're done. What was the third? You mentioned
Rutgers. They opted out.
They all just said, nah, we're done. Now, at first glance, I was like, oh, I can't believe they didn't know. Then the more I read over it, our friend Mark Brennan from Lines 24/7 had a nice story on this yesterday.
Yeah.
The more I read it, I'm like, okay, this actually makes sense. And the wild card, if you will, is the transfer portal opens next Monday. And so if you go and play in these tournaments, and let's say you win a game or two, that's where your focus is going to be. Meanwhile, the transfer portal opens next Monday. And I think there are 5 seniors they're losing, 5 guys. They're done. I mean, they're eligibility, done. So clearly, Mike Rhodes and crew are going right into rebuild mode. And the more I read the story, I'm like, okay, this actually makes sense. This is not the old days before there was a transfer portal. All right. If this were the old days, I'm pretty sure they would have said, all right, let's go to one of these two. All right. This new crown tournament looks interesting. It's 16 teams for a week in Las Vegas. So in other words, all the action is going to be in Las Vegas. That tournament starts 2 weeks from now, I believe, March 31, and it only lasts for a week. And these 16 teams just battle it out. 16, then 8, then 4, then 2, then 1. I don't know who put this together. I don't have a clue, but it looks interesting. So let's see. Keep an eye on St. Francis. Now, we've mentioned St. Francis from down in Loretto. They're in a play-in game. And again, I don't have the bracket. It's either tomorrow or Wednesday. They're in a play-in game. Of course, Rod Primmel is the coach.
You know,
State College coach for St. Francis for how many years? It was a long time. It was like 10.
Yeah.
It was like 10 years or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I think this
wow.
is your
like
10.
That long? I didn't realize that. So I'll be kind of pulling for St. Francis. We'll
sure.
see how they do. North Carolina's in a play-in game. Still, they're arguing about that one. I didn't wear it today, but maybe later this week when they start playing, I'm going to wear my Michigan State dad shirt. Hey, I got a kid that got a degree from Michigan State. And, of course, for all that, she gets dad a shirt.
There you go.
Actually, she got dad 2 shirts.
Well.
She got a sweatshirt and a T-shirt.
You ought to be wearing it today.
I should be
it
wearing
be
it today. All right. True.
Well, if it has
that's
the school
true.
Colors. It
well,
be
no,
green.
It's, yeah, it's, well, yeah. The shirt isn't green. The lettering isn't green. So there you go. Anyway, all right. One odd thing I noticed over the weekend.
St. Francis, by the way, did you mention who they play?
No.
Tomorrow. It's Alabama State is their opening opponent. And that'll be on True TV tomorrow starting at 6:40.
What channel is that?
The True TV channel.
Okay.
On your
is
network.
Is there a number? I have to search for that
your,
one.
Your
okay.
system, I guess I should say.
Now, it's funny you should mention that, all right, before we take another break. I just noticed this over the weekend, and I can't believe this is a coincidence. So out where I live, I used to have satellite TV. I got rid of it because, frankly, it was just getting really expensive. I'm like, this isn't working for me anymore. So at my house, we stream. All right, we do streaming, and it's not bad for about half the price. So I like that. It's cool. But streaming TV essentially is, kind of like a website. All right, sort of. You know, if you go to websites, you get these pop-up ads. And, of course, we've all noticed this. If someday you're searching for something online, like tell me about blah, blah, okay? later on you come back and you go do something else, you go to a website, and all of a sudden here come ads for blah blah that just start popping up on your screen, right? All right, you just start seeing, like, wait a minute, where'd that come from? I didn't want that. Ads for blah blah just start popping up on your screen. Like, somebody's tracking me? Yes, they are. Thank you very much. Could not help but notice over the weekend, I'm starting to see commercials for West Shore Home. I've never seen commercials for West Shore Home. Now, again, not complaining. West Shore Home is this group. They're going to find $50 million so that they can put their name on the Beaver Stadium field. That was just announced, a week ago. Okay. Good for them. I could not help but notice all these ads for West Shore Home are starting to pop up on my television. I'm thinking, okay, kitchens, bathrooms, and so on. Folks, that can't be a coincidence. It just can't be. So I'm thinking West Shore Home, okay, they're making a significant investment. And so now maybe they need to go into the, hey, we need to show everybody who we are mode. And so I'm starting to see these commercials on streaming TV. All right, this is not regular TV. This is streaming TV. It operates a little differently. So all of a sudden there's this hole of commercials, and somehow these ads just start popping up. And there's West Shore Home. So now I know a little bit more about West Shore Home because of commercials that popped out of nowhere. All right, good for them.
Yep.
Yes, anyway. So watch out for more from West Shore Home, I guess. All right, let's take that break here. I'm telling you, you got the east and west stands, you got the north and south end zones, you got four sections of the stadium, and they're all begging for a name. If somebody's got $50 million in their checkbook, put their name on the stands. Go ahead. Pat Kraft, come on, I'm doing you a big favor here. Not that you don't already know this, okay? Come on, just wait, ladies and gentlemen. It's coming. Let's take a break. Go to newsy stuff when we come right back.
Get that feeling. Get that feeling. This is the Fox.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
When winter is at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org. Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball. With the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area, you can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Like Cummings Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Like Cummings Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Like Cummings Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
WFXX, once again,
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA's Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College. Get up and get going.
Let's talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese, and you are welcome to join the program at 814-954-7266 on this St. Patrick's Monday.
Party responsibly.
But party. Nonetheless.
Well, responsibly. All right.
I heard party.
Again, after what happened at Pitt on Friday, I've got to believe folks over here on what I call on the Hill, Penn State, they're nervously looking out today like, okay, guys, don't do it. Don't do anything stupid. Don't do anything stupid. Hello. I got to believe Old Main is like on pins and needles today. Like, don't do it. Don't do it. No, stop. Watch your news coverage today. Interesting you would play All Right Now. That was the song. All Right Now. Because there are so many things that just show things are not all right now. All right?
What?
Let's start with this one. Okay. And we'll start with fun and go to, well, this is serious, but fun to serious. You get the idea. Now, this is Scott, and I have to make a confession.
What's your confession?
I have to make a public confession, which actually I think I've done here before. I don't drink coffee. I'm just not a coffee drinker.
I tried actual coffee this morning. Well, kind of actual coffee. It's got the pistachio. I do like pistachio.
What?
Flavors in my drinks, I have discovered over the years. So this is an actual coffee with pistachio flavoring.
It says pistachio swirl.
Yep, I got the medium, so they do the three pistachio. I think if you get the small, you get two.
Oh.
And if you get the large, you get four. I think I went medium, and so... And I do like, but it's
and three.
Normally I get either the cappuccino or the frou-frou latte, frou-frou mocha, something along those lines. I actually went coffee today, but with the pistachio.
And three creams, apparently.
Well, they put that in, I guess, automatically with the pistachio. The order was a pistachio coffee.
Now, I'm just curious. I'm sure the evidence is here somewhere in a trash can. You had a cup here last week, because I remember there's a little label here on the side of the cup.
Uh-huh.
Right? And on this label, there were like 10 things listed on the label. Do you know, it was one day last week. It's probably out there in a trash can someplace. We haven't emptied the trash yet.
You usually get either the caramel cream or the French vanilla cappuccino. Those are my two.
But it looked like there were a whole bunch of things in the drink. There was a long list. I remember looking and like, oh, my gosh, what has he got in this drink? I call it a medicated drink. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I don't think there's usually like two different flavors.
I'll see if I can find it in the trash can if we haven't already emptied the trash. I don't do coffee. I don't know. I've never acquired the taste. It's just not my gig. Tea. I like tea. All right, I'm a tea person. So when I see these stories, I'm just thinking, really? And so we got another one of these.
What's this one?
This is from California.
Yeah. Oh, California.
Starbucks. All right. Now you get Duncan. All right.
This could be coming if it is happening in California.
Well, you better get ready.
It could soon happen here in the United States. You gotta be prepared.
You better get ready. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know
if I'm ready.
Now don't get any funky ideas here. Okay?
Well, I've got some funky ideas.
I will share my outrage here in just a moment.
Uh-oh,
now, see, I don't have a frame of reference. When you get this drink,
yeah.
All right, and you do a drive-through, right? Do a drive-through, or you go inside?
I do the drive-through.
Okay,
yep.
When they hand you that drink, is it like piping hot? Like, oh my gosh, this is hot drink. Ah,
not crazy hot. I mean, it's
really
it's hot, but yeah.
Okay. Well, apparently in California, this actually happened 5 years ago, 2020. The guy's name, Michael Garcia.
Oh, Michael.
Apparently goes through a drive-through at a Starbucks.
Yeah.
And apparently he orders a coffee. And they give him the coffee in one of those takeout trays. You know, we've all seen those, right? You know, you put a takeout tray, it's made out of cardboard or whatever, and so on. And apparently something went wrong. And Mr. Garcia, after he takes the tray through the drive-through window from the barista, something went wrong, and he ends up dumping the coffee in his lap. And apparently, in this story, it's referred to as scorching hot drink. See, this is where I don't get coffee. This has never happened before.
Okay.
Scorching hot drink, dumps it right in his lap. Now, who's at fault? All right? The guy dumped the drink in his lap. Who's at fault? Well, of course, apparently, Starbucks is at fault.
Uh-huh.
Because the guy dumped a drink in his lap. So apparently they sue. What a surprise! He finds a lawyer.
No way.
I'm shocked. And let's see, Starbucks has lots of money. Where have we seen this play out before? So they take Starbucks to court and claim that an unsecured drink spilled in Mr. Garcia's lap, right? Apparently, and it caused damage. Okay. Apparently, Mr. Garcia, afterwards, it was so bad, he underwent skin grafts and other procedures on his down there.
Oh, boy.
Okay. After he got a poorly packaged cup of coffee or something like that. Okay. And so apparently the attorney or attorneys, I'm not sure if there's more than one, took this to court and in
the poorly packaged coffee led to a poor package is what you're saying. Oh boy. This is a rough story.
I never thought of it that way, but I gotcha. All right. So they go to court. Now keep in mind that they go to court in California. Now I have to wonder if this would have happened in any other state. All right, so Mr. Garcia maybe was fortunate that he did this to himself in California. His lawyer successfully argued that the barista failed to wedge one of the drinks properly into the tray.
Another way to say this is that the lawyer found grounds to sue.
I don't know if there was any grounds involved.
Get it, grounds.
So when Mr. Coffee Garcia grounds. Took the coffee into his possession, the scorching hot drink spilled out, causing severe burns. According to his attorney, here's where I don't have a frame of reference because I don't drink coffee. All right. According to the attorney, Mr. Garcia suffered permanent and life-changing disfigurement. First off, I got to believe the guy was wearing pants. Come on. I hope he's not in his vehicle, like in his underwear or something.
Well, was it a Wednesday?
It was in February.
Well, no pants Wednesday is a thing. Nope. So I don't know if he observes it the way most of us do.
If you want to look it up, it was February 8th, 2020.
Well, let's just.
If you want to go ahead and look, like what day was February 8th, 2020? So this guy sues. The court agrees with him that Starbucks was at fault.
That was a Saturday. Pants are always optional on the weekend.
Pants are optional on Saturday. Well, that's not in the story.
All right.
I don't know about that part. I'm going to assume he was wearing pants.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but even with that, the coffee apparently was so hot that it caused damage. How much is that worth? Because, again, the court ruled in the guy's favor.
I always wear a cup when I go to my favorite coffee place.
Now, I don't know. You might not want to do that because, again, if this holds and Starbucks is, of course, appealing, this guy's been awarded $50 million.
I mean, Starbucks is pretty appealing to a lot of people. I think Dunkin's pretty appealing,
yes,
too.
But I tell you, you might not want to wear a cup. Because Mr. Garcia is...
I don't know. For a disfigured member down there...
$50 million.
I know, but when you have a work of glory, like... I mean, I don't know if that's worth $50 million. I got to think long and hard about that.
$50 million. Now, again, Starbucks is appealing because this is another utterly outrageous court ruling. This is nuts. All right. Okay, fine. Give the guy an award. I don't give him $1 million. Is dumping a drink on yourself worth $1 million? I can't believe, even with the surgery that I described, that was worth $1 million. This guy's supposed to get $50 million. All right. Now, let me share a quick story here before we take another break. When I was a very small child, this is one of my vaguest memories.
Uh-huh.
I was 3 or 4 years old. Okay, so I'm not in school yet. Mom and Dad working, so Mom would take me to a neighbor that the neighbor would watch me during the day while Mom went to work.
Okay.
Okay. One day, now again, I'm 3 or 4 years old, so I'm not very tall.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The neighbor lady had a hot coffee on a table. Yours truly here, and I don't remember exactly doing this, but yours truly reaches up onto the table, grabs the cup, like I think it was just like a coffee cup, and managed to dump the hot coffee onto myself. Did I suffer a burn? Yes, I did. Okay. Now, it was not down there, okay?
Uh-huh.
It was 3 or 4. All right, come on. So I accidentally dumped the cup of coffee on myself, and it did leave a burn. It left a burn on my chest. Now, is that burn still on my chest? No, it's long gone. Long. This is 50, oh my gosh, it's over 55 years ago, okay? If that were today, could my mother have sued the neighbor friend for leaving an unintended hot cup of coffee on a table where I was able to reach up and somehow grab it or knock it down or something so that it poured on me? Now, you're nodding your head up and down.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So my mom now this was in the 1960s.
Missed opportunity.
My mom should have immediately called a lawyer and sued the neighbor friend. Now, back in the 60s, it wouldn't have been $50 million. It might have been just, I don't know, $2 million or something like that.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
She should have sued, even though I was clearly the one at fault for being clumsy, reaching up onto a table to grab, I didn't know what it was, a cup of coffee comes flying out of the cup and spills on me. Now, you're nodding your head again.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're being serious or if you're being facetious. $50 million for another story of a guy or a person who dumps a drink onto their own lap. Come on, folks. I'm outraged by this. This is insane.
It is insane.
It's nuts. $50 million. Apparently, Starbucks wanted to settle. And they would have settled for if I recall here, they would have settled for like $1 or 2 million. But no, the lawyer, here we go. Starbucks, international company, big money. Let's go for the money. Now, the one part of the story, of course, I don't have here. How much of the $50 million will the lawyer get? do you really think Mr. Garcia is going to get the whole $50 million? No. If Trump wants to do something, he wants to reform something, how about we reform the legal system? This kind of crap should not be happening. Let's take our break.
There's a lot
this
of
kind of crap should not be happening.
There. I agreed. Yes, we have. That is an example of many problems I think we have with our justice system. Which, by the way, I do think is still the best justice system that's been conceived. Doesn't mean that it's not very flawed and that we ought not work to improve it. We're coming right back.
Get that feeling. Get that feeling. This is the Fox.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutcheon has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
The Jolly Roger!
The Center Hall Farm Store is proud to serve our community as a small family business that provides big-time service. Folks, you can still stock up on those wood pellets this winter. The Center Hall Farm Store makes its own horse, cow, pig, chicken, and bird feeds and has a great variety of pet feeds for your needs. Open weekdays from 8 to 4 and Saturday from 8 to noon. Check us out at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or on the web at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com. The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
The Fox!
Get up and get going with the Happy Valley 98.7 The Fox!
On this St. Patrick's Day, it is Let's Talk, and the phone line is open at 814-954-7266 if you want to weigh in on anything from the weekend. If there's power out at your house still, again, Bellefonte School District closed today due to the power outages and various other issues getting out and about. State College Area School District was on a two-hour delay because two schools were without power. Apparently, they got the power back on at Spring Creek Elementary. Not so at Ferguson Township. So everybody except for Ferguson Township went to school after the two-hour delay, or is going to school after the two-hour delay. But Ferguson Township is closed today due to that power outage.
Actually, I've had this story about school start times. I've had it on my notes for over a week. We'll bring it up sometime. We'll hold that thought. Unfortunately, Center Daily Times has a story just out that one person is dead in Ferguson Township from apparently touching a down power line last evening. Folks, there are still several thousand people without power in the neighborhood, as I call it. Please, please, please stay away from down power lines. Don't even try. We don't have any other details. It was in Ferguson Township last evening. Just folks, let's take it easy today. Cause again, A, a lot of people still without power. B, trees down in some places all over the place, which means power lines are down. Don't go near them. Somebody apparently did that last evening, and it's a tragic story. No other details on that at this point. Probably Center Daily Times, statecollege.com, I assume we'll have some more coverage of that story as the day goes on. But please, please, folks, you know, take it easy. All right, just wait for the power crews. I would assume are going to be working for days on this in our neighborhood and in a lot of other places. Again, kind of to our west, a bit more to our north, and so on. That big blow yesterday was a big blow, and it caused a lot of damage. So, I had a feeling. I mean, on my drive into the studio this morning, Harner Farm, all right, at the intersection there, there's this giant pine tree just laying on the ground. It just snapped clean, apparently, during the storm yesterday. And I'm thinking, oh, man, that's a big tree. Holy mackerel. I'm sure there are lots of other ones. So, folks, please, let's take it a little easy there today, all right? All right, what do you think about this? Got this from a TV station in Harrisburg. All right, so I'm just going to read. I pulled this from their website. I'm just going to read this. A Pennsylvania lawmaker has proposed a bill requiring the Ten Commandments and other foundational documents to be displayed in Pennsylvania public schools. Now, I read this, I'm thinking, what took so long? All right, not that I necessarily support it. But, of course, this has popped up in several other states. I think Louisiana is doing it, maybe Oklahoma. I'm not surprised at all that this has now popped up. It is called the Creation of Law in Our Schools Act. Okay, always got to give it a funky name.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not surprised that Doug Mastriano is the sponsor. Now, he is the Republican senator from Franklin County, I believe. Remember, he ran for governor a couple years ago, and frankly, Josh Shapiro pretty well trounced him in that election. It really wasn't close. Mr. Mastriano, very, very, very conservative. All right, no, you know, if you follow this stuff at all, you know this. He would like to see the Ten Commandments displayed, the Declaration of Independence, the Pennsylvania Constitution, and the U.S. Constitution. Now, that's all the details I have. The one in Louisiana mandates that it was the Ten Commandments, there might have been some other ones, that it is displayed in every classroom. In other words, every room should have this displayed. And it passed. In Louisiana. Doesn't say that here in this brief that I copied. So I don't know. It's not necessarily in every room, but somewhere in a public school, these things should be displayed. Again, the Ten Commandments, the Declaration of Independence, the Pennsylvania Constitution, and the U.S. Constitution. All right, Mr. Ironhead, what do you think?
I think all schools, at least in Pennsylvania, should be made to post the most famous lines from Mike Lang, the famous Penguins broadcaster. And kids ought to be able to recite Michael motorcycle by the time they finish their high school career.
Scratch my back with
I think we can
dog.
Get virtually universal support for my position.
From
virtually.
Philadelphia?
Virtually, I tell you.
Philadelphia?
Even Philadelphia Flyers fans recognize the greatness
those are fighting
of
words.
Mike Lang. Just as Pittsburgh Pirates fans recognize the greatness of Harry Callis. You can still recognize great announcers when you hear them.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right. They're still fighting this battle over new, you've seen this? New license plates in Pennsylvania. Because it's been a while since we've had a new license plate design. And so I guess a design has been chosen which shows the Liberty Bell, or an outline of the Liberty Bell on the Pennsylvania license plate. Well, of course, that's too Philadelphia-centric.
Yes! This is an outrage!
It's an outrage! So folks allegedly in western Pennsylvania are ticked off, like, no, that's a terrible design. That's Philadelphia. The Liberty Bell. The Liberty Bell. Come on. The Liberty Bell? We'll see where this goes. I don't expect this to go much of anywhere.
No.
It went in Louisiana. I swear, Oklahoma... Texas, I think, is looking at it. There's like one or two other states that have brought this up, and I don't have it in front of me. I don't think this is going to go anywhere because, first, it's coming from Mr. Mastriano. And he has, again, by losing rather badly in the gubernatorial election a couple years ago, for some people, they've just sort of written him off. Although I did notice, where do I have that here? Mr. Mastriano is considering another run for governor next year. All right? Now, we already know Shapiro is going to be on the Democrat side. He's in. Boom. He's the incumbent. Shapiro beat Mastriano by 15 points a couple of years ago. Now, this has got to be giving Republican lawmakers in Harrisburg a headache. Like, no, we really don't want Mastriano as our next governor candidate again. That didn't go well the last time. Now, let's flip the coin. You could probably say something about that, about Donald Trump, couldn't you? Right? Donald Trump lost in 2020. You know, oh, it was bad, 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 bad. And somehow, whoop, he makes the big comeback. Well, I've got to believe Mastriano and Trump are, like, attached to the hip. I mean, they are. They just are. Maybe he's thinking the same thing. Hey, I'm going to make a big comeback, and I'm going to win. All right, Trump lost to Biden. Well, he didn't beat Biden, but we know that whole story from last year. I can beat Shapiro. No. All right, one man's opinion, all right, the Republican leaders in Harrisburg or whatever have got to find a way to say, Senator, maybe you ought to just be a senator. Maybe, you know, just, okay, let's find somebody else. But let's see if Mastriano's name comes popping up. When it comes, and this period is coming up here shortly, because the election is next year, 2026. And of course, you don't wait till 2026 to start running. You start running sooner and sooner and sooner. So this stuff, it's gonna start. I mean, April starts here shortly. These folks, whoever, Stacey Garrity, you know, the state treasurer, allegedly is a leading name. These folks, I'm thinking, are going to start something at least in the summertime to start running. We'll see if Mastriano actually follows through. Do we need the Ten Commandments in public schools? Now, that's an argument right there. You know, Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments are followed in Judaism. They are followed in Christianity. They're actually also followed in Islam, because the Ten Commandments kind of predates all of those things. So it's not like it's some out there document. But of course, it does mention God.
Aha!
Oh, no. Oh, boy. Now, back in the day, back when I dumped that coffee on myself, mm-hmm. by accident, nobody would have argued, well, probably nobody would have argued any of this. But it's a different age now. Should the Ten Commandments be not allowed, but posted, like absolutely in every single public school. I mean, these other things, all right? The Declaration of Independence, I've already seen that in a bunch of public schools. That's not unusual. Now, maybe not in some main hallway, probably in the history teacher's class, I've seen the Declaration of Independence. Good luck reading it, because it's got really tiny type, all right? They crammed a lot of stuff on that thing. The U.S. Constitution, I mean, if you posted the entire U.S. Constitution, that would take up a serious wall, a space, all right? Now, the Pennsylvania Constitution, nobody knows what that is. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Nobody knows what that is outside of maybe Harrisburg, and I have to question if some of the people down there, where's our caller? It's like Pennsylvania has a constitution? Really? Where? I didn't even know that. All right. Now, I don't know how much room that would take up. I'd have to, I don't know, do a printout or something. This isn't about those other things. This is about, of course, the Ten Commandments. And I want to see, A, how far this bill goes, and then, B, of course, reactions to it. Yeah, do it, do it. I want to hear the, no, absolutely don't do that. I want to hear, okay, why? Just simple question. Why? Now, again, Louisiana, and I complained about Louisiana's, they mandate it's in every single classroom. That's overkill. That's nuts. That's ridiculous. All right? That's crazy. Come on. It doesn't have to be in every classroom. Put it out in the main hallway someplace. You know, the entranceway. People are walking in and out during the day and so on. Fine. Put it out there, assuming you have, you know, some kind of wall space to do that. But I saw this the other day, and I'm thinking, okay, that's interesting. Now, here's one thing for Mastriano. Here's a different story. And we're going to have some state representatives, ours, joining us, as we like to have them. Local Rep. Paul Takacs is going to join me on Friday, going to be in the studio on Friday. I've heard from Kerry Benninghoff. We got to work a date for him. Some other folks. We were scheduled to have State Senator Chris Dush join us this week. Apparently, Senator Dush had some surgery recently, and so he's a little out of action, if you will, right now. So hopefully, maybe we'll have Senator Dush in a couple of weeks when he's doing better and so on. So hopefully, we'll have that. And some other folks as well. And I'll probably toss, you know, these things. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? We'll get some interesting responses maybe from some of these folks. The idea about getting rid of property taxes. Folks, would you like that? No more property taxes.
Yes, please.
All right, now let's do a quick definition. First off, property taxes are always local. This is not federal. This is not state. This is local. But the state has some jurisdiction in you know, how this can be applied and so on. And so some conservative lawmakers in Harrisburg have once again come up with the idea, get rid of property taxes. Okay? Russ Diamond is a state senator from the Lebanon area, and he is trying to draft. Now, in this case, it would be a constitutional amendment. Now, if he can actually do this and it gets on the ballot, that means we vote on it on election day. There would be like one of those paragraphs. Do you agree with blah, 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 blah? All right. And then the idea is you get a consensus like, yes, we want to do that. And then the idea is supposed to be, okay, how are we going to do it? Let's get it done. That sort of thing. Mastriano has an interesting idea. All right. This ties into illegal immigration. God forbid. That there are illegal immigrants out there. Apparently, they get jobs, they make money, and then somehow they find a way to transmit some of that money back home to wherever it is they came from. Now, we knew this. This isn't, this is not a mystery. What Mastriano wants to do is he wants to tax that money. Now, the question is, I don't know how much money this is. Apparently, it's a giant pile of money. He wants to get rid of property taxes and tax what the illegal immigrants are sending home to pay for the property taxes. What do you think about that idea? First off, I got to see some numbers. I don't have any numbers in anything I've seen in front of me. It doesn't sound right. Like, this doesn't add up. But, folks, I'm telling you, watch out for this one. This one is going to probably come up again at some point. So there we go. What's that number?
I'm showing you some numbers.
Oh, thank you.
You wanted to see some numbers. I wrote down 6, 9, and 12.
Thank you.
Just trying to help you out.
I'm not sure that's accurate.
Coming back with Joe Bastar.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCormick has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game, all season long, brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
The Jolly Roger!
Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball. With the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area, you can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Lycoming Supply Incorporated, located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, is looking to hire numerous carpenters, laborers, and operators starting immediately for the construction season. Lycoming Supply is a reputable contractor that has been in business since 1948 and is family-owned. Lycoming Supply specializes in building bridges, box culverts, and also performs demolition work throughout the mid-state region. Having a CDL is preferred but not necessary. Stop by their office located at 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport and fill out an application and have two forms of ID ready. Lycoming Supply is an EEO employer. You may mail a resume or visit their office at Lycoming Supply, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. for more information. Lycoming Supply Incorporated, 801 Beaver Street in Williamsport, or you may call them at 570-322-6054 today.
Recent changes to analog phone lines have increased faxing costs dramatically. With Cloud Fax Solutions from Doing Better Business, you can now have a reliable, scalable method, which is great for compliance. XM Fax integrates seamlessly with our Ricoh and all multifunctional devices and provides a secure, shared experience with automatic workflow routing. Take your faxing to the cloud with Doing Better Business. Our solutions and service teams are ranked in the top 10% of the country for customer satisfaction. Visit us today at doingbetterbusiness.com.
It is St. Patrick's Day here on, well, not just here, everywhere.
It's St. Patrick's Day. Everywhere, yeah.
But you happen to be listening on St. Patrick's Day to Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox, and it seems to the appropriate time to bring in that famous Irish meteorological wizard Joe Bastardi, or O Bastardi, I think it is.
O Bastardi.
Today. Yeah. Good morning, Mr. Bastardi.
Usually it's, oh, you no good fat. Never mind.
Yeah, that's Irish.
That sounds about right.
That's Irish.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Well, I'd be doing better if we had had boring weather yesterday. I'm just saying, boring weather would have been helpful.
I'll tell you what, on the way out to where we record our little, well, we used to record our New York show. That's no longer going to be happening, because of weather. There were poles snapped on 322 just before I got to, Hills Plaza coming out of Bowlesburg. To snap a power pole had to be an 80-mile-an-hour wind gust to do. Not get back into the area to see if, the first thing when I told my son, who's down in Texas and was chasing tornadoes on, he was in Mississippi chasing tornadoes on Saturday, and if you get on my Twitter site, I put one of the tornado scenes on there. But you can't determine whether they are straight line winds or tornadic winds until you look at the damage assessments sometime. But they have to be over 80 miles an hour to snap a power pole, and that's going to take a while. I don't know if there are delays yet on 322 between Hills Plaza and Bowlesburg. I haven't been through there yet this morning, but they're going to have to put that stuff back up somehow or the other. So that was a pretty intense sunstorm. And we had severe weather in the forecast here, if you were listening to the Fox from Saturday, with that kind of situation. Now the question is, over the next 3 weeks, does winter return in the way I was alluding to earlier in the month that wasn't over yet? And there's some really funky stuff. The European generated model, it's a single run. We call it eye candy. It has a foot of snow here next Monday and Tuesday. Probably disappear on the next run. But the fact that it's seeing stuff like that, we're starting to see the models, more and more runs coming in with cold and snow on them, indicates to me that the step back is getting ready to start. Now, this is sort of a one-day step back as we get warmer again tomorrow and Wednesday, but then we turn colder Thursday into Friday, a little bit milder over the weekend, and early next week we continue to step down here. So the normals are rising 1 degree every 3 days, but we're going to go back the other way for a while to come. I don't know if any of you guys have noticed that, I go on a Penn State campus almost every day. We finally get some of the crocuses and that kind of vegetation to come up. But that's very late compared to recent years. And if you notice, your lawns are very brown. And they're much browner than what they've been in March. I remember last March at this time going, oh, no, this means that the lawn mowing season, and since I pay someone to mow my lawn, is going to start early. It usually would start in early May, but over the past 10 years, it started in mid-April, where the lawns would green up very quickly starting in March. And the reason the lawns are so brown is because we did not have enough snow cover when it was very, very cold. We had very little snow on the ground this year comparatively speaking to the length of cold we had. So that allowed the frost penetration to be deeper this year. So it sort of retarded the advent of vegetation a little bit, which might be a good thing given the step back that looks like it's happening over the next couple of weeks around here. But it's very interesting to watch that. I watch that every year, and it really does depend on the temperature of the ground and how much exposure to cold it has had during the winter. We've had, for the United States as a whole, we're off to the fifth warmest start on record for the month of March. It won't end in the top five because of the cold. There's a lot more cold coming relative to averages, but of course, it's been very, very warm, especially over the last week. The temperatures here over the last week have been more like late April than they have been March.
There, Mr. Boring. You happy?
Happy? There we go.
I mean, Joe, just briefly describe what happened yesterday. Now, Grant, this thing, I guess, marched across the country all last week. What was that? What caused that?
Well, it's March, and you have clashes. Look at the temperatures now. Yesterday's temperatures were in the mid and upper 60s. They're only in the mid and upper 30s right now. So you naturally have the clash of the seasons during the month of March, so you have this kind of thing. This is a two-pronged storm. One big one went up Friday into Saturday. Another one developed Saturday and Sunday and went up to the west of us. And a third one's actually is developing on the mid-coast now. That's going to head, believe it or not, head southeast out into the Atlantic. And what you're seeing is these big puffs are coming eastward. And they are splitting as they come east. In other words, one piece goes up into Canada, the other piece goes further south. When the other piece goes further south, obviously cold pockets of air trying to come in further south and clash. You know, people in Nebraska have had in the month of March 10 degrees above normal. They're about to get a foot of snow. Lincoln, Nebraska, they're going to get their biggest snowstorm of the season. Lincoln and Omaha about to get that. With this, I nicknamed this thing in part of my language. Last Saturday, I said, all hell breaking loose watch is in effect for what we just saw Friday and Saturday. This thing said over the next couple of days is the son of that. It's not as bad with severe weather, but it's going to have as much wind, wet snow on the western side of it. And when you start seeing this, and if you work in Europe, and I work in Europe with the big de-icing company over there, you notice that when the weather gets stormy, when it starts getting stormy, even though it may be warm when it's stormy, it's almost always a sign that it's about to get cold, because the storminess is signaling that the atmosphere is beginning to change. The fortress of warmth that was established for the 7 to 10 day period where the weather was warm and tranquil, well, it's starting to get attacked. And when it gets attacked, there's going to be storminess. That's how it goes. What I'm worried about is, the blog is on CFACT, and I was talking to Jeff yesterday on the show about this. Some guy came on and just really attacked me because I said, I think there's a big drought. Coming from Texas up into the plains for upcoming summer, right? And he called me a climate con man or whatever. And I'm like, I'm looking at this going, well, wait a minute. Usually you guys are criticizing me for saying the weather is not extreme, and here I am forecasting an extreme event. What he did was he brought up the fact that I over-forecasted the number of total hurricanes last year, which I did. The mid-season update did well. But what was absolutely the best forecast I've ever made is a hurricane forecast. It was a preseason impact forecast. That is what my company does. We have clients. We tell them early where we think things are going to go. We told people on December 7th, 2023, we outlined the exact areas where those tropical storms and hurricanes were going to go. And, of course, we had 5 hurricane hits last year, second highest on record on the U.S. coast. So I guess if it was first highest, it would have really driven home my point, but even caused more damage. But the fact of the matter is that if you're going to shoot and take a shot, there are times when your opponent's going to counter you. My opponent's the weather. And the one thing I do is I forecast globally every single day. So, you know, there's nobody on the planet that knows how wrong I can be more than me. Believe me, I see it. But on the other hand, trying to get out in front of things, even trying to get out in front of what is a potential very nasty situation for Texas and the plains in advance, and it's not just because of drought and agricultural interests. I think that we're going to be fine. Once you get to Interstate 35, they took it from Laredo to Kansas City eastward. I think this growing season is going to be fine as far as precipitation goes. But what is really becoming bothersome is the electric grid in this country is hanging on a thread. The last 4 years, and everybody's going, people go and say, stop with the politics. I'm sorry. The last 4 years, we've basically sent the grid backwards when we should have been sending the grid forward for the onslaught of AI and Bitcoin and electric vehicles. If you really believe electric vehicles were going to be the wave of the future, you're going to be upgrading your electric grid so you know that the power would be there, so that every single home could have a have its own little charging station, because that's the only way to really make them practical. I mean, you know, I like the sheets out there at where's that sheets you know, it's near Target or whatever out there. There are a lot of charging stations out there. Who wants to sit there for 40 minutes? I guess if you go in and, you know, get your MTO, but it doesn't take 40 minutes to get an MTO. But if you have one in, if you have a charging station in your house, but even if you have a charging station in your house, let's say they create a system for that, that's going to need electricity, and that's going to cost money. So what is going to happen is if you don't have enough electricity, the demand is going to go up through the roof. Well, Texas has an interesting situation with their power grid, all right? But when Beryl went through, Beryl was a Category 1.9 on our scale. And if the people had paid attention that were running the electric company down there, they would have known it was more than just a minimal storm, right? But that was the first thing. But the second thing, even a Category 1.9 storm should not have knocked the power out around Houston for 10 days. Their grid is in trouble down there. Now, imagine a hot, dry Texas summer, all right, with all the no matter what you think about Texas, the fact is a lot of people live down there, a lot of industries there, pulls a lot of power. You know what's going to happen? That you're going to start having rolling blackouts there. You have them in California anyway. And this situation is going to be serious, and the weather has its fingers in it. So we're already taking a look at that. In fact, I'm more confident about that drought and heat in much of the western and central part of the United States for the summer than I am about the upcoming hurricane season. I haven't issued an impact forecast yet. I'll probably do it in April because I'm not – it's not like last year. Even last year, we saw it the year before what was going to happen. Sometimes you can see it way in advance. Sometimes you can't. So anyway, but whatever. I've pontificated enough. I got to get down off my soapbox, which is getting harder to do at my age because, you know, I'm stiff.
Bad name.
Any other questions before I go? By the way, let's remember Wednesday for all you people whose name ends in a vowel out there is St. Joseph's Day.
There you
all
go.
All right? So, that's a big deal. You go to Rhode Island, I'm telling you, or Brooklyn, all right? St. Joseph's Day is the big deal. But, we could share some time with Patrick.
That sounds like a plan.
That's very kind.
All right. All right, Joe, we appreciate the time, and
as always,
we'll is it a return to boring this week? Would that be accurate, Joe?
Well, I don't think it's boring. It's sort of boring, but there's so much going on that could set up excitement. It's not boring to me like last week was boring as a meteorologist. This week, though, is exciting, though, for you normal human beings out there, rational human beings that don't look for trouble. It's pretty boring over there. There could be a nasty thunderstorm later Wednesday or Wednesday night or Thursday.
Got it. What should we do with that weather, Mr. Mastardi?
Take this weather and enjoy it. It's the only weather you got.